Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This should play upon the legendary cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. You better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
When the sun goes down, when the sun goes down, when the sun goes down, I know you hear it. I feel it in my soul, but I can't let nothing go. And then myself, and I can't hear it. The black sheep in the village, I know they hear him. Oh, they call me. Oh, they call me.
In the night sky, you can see in the heaven. And whatever make a star is me, so you have to worry, I'm ready. Wells in the upside down would make it 11 or 77. It's the strangest thing, holding my food in your hand and hoping for amazing grace.
I want you to let it out.
If you wreck, they get you up out of there. Look in the spray, something on you like body care. They said I was wrong, I stand on my own. I gave them a head of a grizzly bear.
Hey, I see the brave silence. Everybody know we're hell in the room. The God, I never had nothing to lose. But y'all became sheep, y'all became fools. The devil can't eat what he can't chew. So get in God reach like a prayer room. I got a mind of dark lines and chalk lines. And in due time, they'll betray you. Give a little more time. Wait, hey, listen what they want. Literally, they push me away and got rid of me. Darkness in the room got loud. Hit under me and heal. Ain't no dislikes on my shoulder. Gave me anemia. Before anyone came and had to pick me up. When I'm on my own, they never were the group of us. Take everything they own to their light side. Get it for the sun dry.
When the sun goes down, I know you hear it. I feel it in my soul, but I can't let nothing go. And then myself, and I can hear it. The black sheep in the village, I know they hear me. Oh, they call me villain.
Why don't you be the monster? Why don't you be the monster?
It's not like I didn't want to be the monster. It's because the game itself just felt so incredibly one-sided and unfair. Heroes and Monsters is just a game of pretend.
Yeah, what it is. This your big King Gary, the Media Assassin. We are now tuned in to episode 613 of Off the Cuff Radio, live and direct. Got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
What's going on, y'all? Another fantastic Friday on the Freshness of Frequency, OTC. Shout out to our co-host of Phil, our Sam, L.A. Chinchilla, DJ Sincere of Dirty Basin Radio. We are live and direct once again, dedicating ourselves to giving you the most provocative, thought-provoking, real, uncut, and thoughtful, genuinely conversations of all things in the culture. So, King, let everybody know who we got tonight.
Yeah, man. We heard the new record that we played from him called Villain. Out here from Atlanta, Georgia. He's a dope up-and-coming artist. And you know what, we do it off the cuff radio. We show love to the indie artists that's doing this independent shit the right way. And big shout-out to Lawrence from Smout Mouth Records for making this connection happen. This guy's on his grizzle. So let's all welcome Naeem Rashid to Off the Cuff Radio, episode 613. You heard?
Yeah. What's happening? What's going on? Appreciate y'all for having me.
Man, look, appreciate you being with us, man. Thank you for coming on.
Look, like King said, open the track, fire like a flamethrower with hollow points hitting the target, and it's all a full clip of rip.
You definitely got some skills, youngin', man. And representing the A proud in terms of putting on for the city and keeping in line with the history that came before and destined to make history as you go along with it, man.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, just trying to give that substance back, man. We need that right now. And I stand for the underdogs, man. The black sheep, the people that, you know, they always been overlooked, you know what I mean? So I'm in my villain era, you know?
What was, like, the creative direction you wanted to take with Villain? Because, you know, the cover kind of looked like, you know, like a horror movie, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of vision did you have for that?
So I lost my mom in July, this past July, from cancer.
Mm.
And
my condolences.
Appreciate it. And earlier that year, I was working on this earlier last year. I was working on this record, and as time passed, bro, it just made me get more into it. So right after my mom passed, I basically was left to myself. Like, she passed away, I had to figure out the funeral and everything. I only had like two cousins helping me. I ain't never did a funeral before. And my mom had she got five brothers that's still alive. And bro, after the funeral, everybody left. Everybody was gone. And it was just a lot of drama. You know how that go after funeral and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of got me. And I always been this underdog. I always been resilient. I always had to get it from the mud, but this right here kind of made, I think this the turning, there was a turning point that made the black sheep accept his role. And I kind of felt like I needed to become what it's kind of put on me just to get through it. You know what I'm saying? So once I came with this villain thing, and the reason why I look like a monster, like a werewolf on there, because I was like, okay, the black sheep now turns into the thing that kills sheep. Because a black sheep is always on his own. It was always shunned away. So once he accepts that, he turns into what's feared the most by sheep. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I looked at it as. It's like me accepting what people put on me and making that change. You know, it's not too much difference between a hero and a villain. A hero looks at what he's been through and be like, hey, nobody else, I'm not going to let anybody else go through this. A villain kind of like, I'm going to make the world pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only thing that makes them different is the perspective. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of like the rap game's villain right now, man. I'm off of standing on my 10 and accepting all consequences. I mean, it's only pain anyway. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm just going
through. You kind of created that record with knowing yet your back was against the wall and dealing with life and the changes of this game.
Yeah, and kind of saying fuck what people trying to tell you. You know what I mean? Nobody knows what's going on, bro. Everybody just trying to figure it out. And you got to kind of know who you are in this thing, man. In this rap game, you got to know who you is. And I'm 32 years old, man. I always, one thing about my hometown, I'm from Pelham, Georgia, Southwest Georgia, 229. And one thing my city did for me, it made me fuck with me. Like, I had to fuck with me first. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I was always, when I rapped, that was the only time I felt seen. You know what I mean? That's the only time when people was like, hell, this, hey, this, when I opened my mouth and I rap, that's when people stopped and like, oh, this nigga can really go. But that's been my story, bro. So I'm just really accepting my story and kind of accepting, just embracing everything I've been through. And this is what I came up with. I'm standing up for the underdog, the villain, you know what I mean? Because people made us this way, you know what I mean? The world.
Right.
And we just trying to make it. We just trying to get through it.
Your music is definitely a expression of all you have dealt with internally, and you have used that as an outlet to show the world as the black sheep of it, you know, but ultimately how the black sheep, as they say, turns into the goat, because eventually you get out there and you become the forefront of the herd rather than being behind the pack. You know, you're leading it. What does it mean for you, Naeem, in terms of what hip hop culture means and what, how you feel in the aspect of having it in a musical form to express yourself?
And you know, it's not, I don't like, I think the game itself makes it complicated, because when you look at it, it's no time in rap history that it hasn't been a different individual leading the rap game. Like, it's never been a time that the top rappers wasn't lyrical. It's never been a time that those top rappers was not the wave itself. They wasn't following the wave. They made a wave. The J. Cole's, the Kendrick's, the Drake, these people was one of one early on. I remember when Drake was getting picked on. You know what I mean? They was clowning Drake. You know what I mean? And I just think making the music, making what you feel, you know what I'm saying, whether it blows up or not, making what you feel and being authentically yourself, that's what we need, man. That's what's important, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm a layered individual. Like, I got layers to me. I'm from the South. I like to bounce, too. I'm a lyrical dude. I like to bounce, too. But I also, I got demons, bro. I got things I've been through. And I got a perspective, and I got a story, and I got a why. And a lot of people feel like they are not heard and not listened to. And I want those people to know they're not by themselves. And it don't have to sound pretty. It don't have to, you know what I'm saying? Villains is gritty. You know, I never, when I did the hook, I didn't even write it. And that was my first time not writing a hook. I just did it just like that. And I knew it was going to be one of those songs, like, it's for some people and it's not for everybody, you know what I mean? But it's been surprising to hear the feedback from it. I think people don't even know, they like it, but they don't know why they like it yet. And until they tap into who I am, because music is about being a fan of people, being a fan of a person, you know what I mean? The music just ties it all together. So I just think people just trying to find their way, bro, and it doesn't look pretty. The process is not pretty, and that's what villains represent.
You know, when we look at it,
oh yeah, man, we shooting that now. So that's the fun part, bro. We doing something very different, like especially in my area. So. We did a photo shoot. So what y'all see on the cover is from the photo shoot. We're tying the photo shoot. Everything that I wore in the photo shoot, I'm putting it back on for the video. And the video is a concept of, I'm be at my mom's gravesite. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see a character I made up named Webbs. He's going to be like kind of like a narrator. Webbs is kind of like, he's like that old guy with a lot of game. But he talks shit to you. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, like, he's an older guy that you know that gave you game. Be like, what the fuck you doing, young blood? You know what I'm saying? Like, he talked to you like that. and Wells is going to narrate. You're going to see me at my mom's grave, and that's going to be the night I call it, the night I call the howling. That's the night when I first changed into this beast, into this werewolf.
Love the howling. Love the movie reference with the howling and whatnot. When we think about it, Naeem, like you said, hip-hop is, in terms of music, it's a very personal element, and it's a very subjective element in terms of how it reaches people. You know, King and myself, as long as we've done this show, we've got to interview so many different people who have talked about their ascent and the journey of it. And you coming from Atlanta, the history is rich. It is extensive. It is integral. It is important. You all have contributed so much. You know, shout out to the Main Dupree, Babyface, a lot of the newcomers, you know what I'm saying, who've been doing their thing over the years. You know, it's like a, you know, I mean, it's just, you all have really been able to, you know, it's just something you all been able to really put together. When you look at Atlanta, you know, especially that new generation, like guys like Pee Wee Longway and all of them coming through, you know, Block 125 and all of them, what does it say about the traditions that were laid in hip-hop before and how it influenced all of you going forward?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I'm really not from Atlanta. Like, I am, like, that's the thing. Atlanta, for me, and where I'm from, I'm 4 hours away from Atlanta.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so
we'll just say
so
Georgia,
we're from
in
the
Georgia in general.
Yeah, we're from the same. Yeah, we're from the same place as Fillmore. You know, they like our outcasts. You feel me?
Yeah, Magic Classy. I remember that album. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So when it comes to Atlanta, when it comes to us to Atlanta, because I look at Georgia, there's more places in Georgia that's like where I'm from than Atlanta. Atlanta is a very special place. Atlanta is like, it's a Mecca, man. It's like, it ain't nowhere else in Georgia like Atlanta. It ain't no, the politics is not the same. It's not the same. So it's like, for people that grew up in Atlanta, it's something else, because you get to see powerful black people, powerful people that look like you, that be at the same places you're at. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm from the country. You know, T, I like to call it slow. We slow in the sense of speed, but not brain. I'm from my particular city, man. Nobody's made it out my city, and music especially. We the closest thing we got. We got Cantrell that was signed to Mass Appeal. He was signed to Nas. His name is Cantrell. And he's from Albany, Phil Mob, he, of course, that was the biggest to do it at that time, you know. And still now, we got people that's coming, but we are completely different, bro. Like, it's some guys that chasing the Atlanta sound down there, and it still come out different because how we grew up. You know, we picked pecans, you know what I'm saying? We picked pecans to survive at one point in time growing up. I made my song Dollar Trees about that. And it's a different dog in us, man, because I call my city Black Hole City. And why I call it Black Hole City is because, you know, in a black hole, scientifically, you know what I'm saying, no light escapes a black hole, you know.
Yeah, that's so gravitation.
I call
full of it.
Right. So why I call it Black Hole City is because if you a light trying to get up out of there, you gotta dream hard. You know what I mean? You gotta leave the city, and it's barely nothing escaping. You know what I mean? It's not too many lights escaping out of that thing, and it's black hole cities all around the world, bro. So I just, when it comes to what Atlanta represents, we love Atlanta, we embrace it, but we're doing something completely different. Like, we got some very talented artists down there, bro. It's fresh. It's a breath of fresh air, man. It's a breath of fresh air. It's just really good. So I don't know about how it is growing up in Atlanta, seeing all these rappers. Like, it's, I would think it, that's why Atlanta is so big, because you have an artist that you knew that lived right down the road from you, that before he was a rapper, he was in the streets, he was doing the same thing you was, and then next thing you know, you see him in a Ferrari, he's rapping, he's everywhere now. That makes it real. You actually touch this person. So that's why everybody in Atlanta feel like they can do it. Everybody in Atlanta, everybody feel like they're a star because they see stars and they was regular people, and then one day they ain't. I think that's powerful, and we trying to do that for my city, from my area, the 229 area where I live. Yeah. I know that's long-winded, but I'm sorry.
That's what this show is for. We want our guests to talk and express.
Yeah, man.
Like you said, Naeem, it's hard because when you, there is, a, you know, the underdog, you being the pit bull, the grand champ of your city, people have to understand, This is a marathon. This is an Ironman. This is the Olympics. This is the triathlon. This is the decathlon. And there's still 1,000 other words we could use to describe what it takes to make it in the music industry.
Whoa, what? Yes, sir.
Because people don't, you know, there's the element of having the courage. There's the imagination to create.
Mm-hmm.
The courage to show it to everybody, the tenacity to keep going when everybody tells you no,
mm-hmm.
and the hope that you're going to have somebody who fucks with it enough that they'll at least listen. The cold reality is more frozen than an Eskimo with no parka in the North Pole.
For sure.
Because... nobody is guaranteed a spot to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Same as plug for XXL in the Source magazine, of which I have all the issues with XXL since 1997 and the Source since 1994. We've seen mm-hmm. a lot of artists come and go. We've seen a lot of artists like Gucci, Jeezy, Eminem, Capone Noriega, Rick mm-hmm. Ross, who were profiled way before they got on. And they became
right.
legends. Mm-hmm. And off the cuff, we do not shit on those who don't make it, because this is a show that celebrates and tells the truth. We're always about upliftment, and we never want to put anybody in a position where we say something that might be construed as throwing a shot at them. We don't do that.
Right.
But we will say that there are also some artists that didn't make it, that had a big buzz, mm-hmm. that were signed with a label,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't make it. And it's not always a guarantee that even with a song, a video, that, you know, there's going to be success. And
yeah.
I think that's what people have to understand. You know, you really have to love this shit to keep doing what you do with it, even when there's no promise of prosperity.
Yeah. You got to be damn near.
Go ahead.
You got to be insane. You got to be kind of insane, man. You got to, like, you got to know your reality and not accept it at the same time. You got to find balance in that.
That part. That part.
Because, you know, nobody that made it in any field wasn't a bit of insane. They cannot, if they paid attention to their reality, they would not have no ambition to keep going. They
mm-hmm.
have to see themselves in a place they really not at. You know, and I'm still fighting, like, as an underdog, bro. I don't think it ever leaves. That's what I was saying, like Jonah Lucas, Kendrick, J. Cole, all them guys. They are trying to prove to themselves they are the man in the mirror. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I got that chip on my shoulder too. Like, I see that for myself, and my reality it doesn't match yet. So I'm fighting with everything in me. It's no plan B. This got to work. You know what I mean? It's got to work. I've done everything else, and it brought me back here to do music. I got a marketing degree. I'm a welder now. You know what I'm saying? I got two kids. Like, and I did all that. Like, I got accepted. I moved up here to Athens. I was going to go to the Art Institute of Atlanta. I got accepted. The dude had to talk to people for me, and, you know, because you kind of get interviewed. You know what I mean? And they accepted me, and they told me the ticket, what it cost to get up in there. It was like $80,000. I was like, man, I'm not putting my mom through that. I was like, I had to let that go. So I didn't, my dreams were kind of like, because my idea of going, coming up here was to get around the best rappers, the best artists. I can't say that I'm one of them if I'm not around them. I got to get around them. It's like,
right.
I want to be around the people that's risking it all just as much as I am. You got to eat with the wolves to live, you know what I'm saying? You got to eat with them. You know what I mean? So that's why I came up here. I've tried everything. I've done it, and I came back around. So now I'm like, man, I'm still music 100%. Like, whatever I got to do. Like, even right now, I'm speaking with, like, Jonah Lucas' team. Like, they picked a few artists out, and they got a little program that they made, and of course you gotta pay to get in, but it's like they helping you, they working with you. It's like his own system. It's Jonah Lucas' manager. He's facilitating a filtration system of artists, and they put you in from tiers, and you work through them tiers. By the time you get to like tier four, they can facilitate a deal for you. So I'm doing all these things. I'm investing in the art. I'm investing in myself. Getting more, educating myself. I also went to the Atlanta Institute of Music and Media. I got my degree in mixing audio. You know what I mean? So I did all this to invest in myself and make me different. Because when people talk to me, hey, or talk to you as an artist, you gotta let them know, like, nah, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. I know a little bit more than an average artist. I might know a little bit more than people give me credit for. I give myself credit for it. But yeah, man, I've invested in myself. I'm still investing, and now it's just about being efficient.
Now, one thing, Naeem, that because we're listening to all of this, and there were some fluorescent points that you hit on, like the lights on a rail, like a lights on a airstrip. You are a certified welder. You went to school. You understood what it means to have other avenues of ability outside of the lane that you're currently in. And we see this is all, and I say this because this is always coming to a point of discussion about where artists are in terms of where they're trying to be rappers, and they pretty much forego everything else. Like niggas forget, like, you actually have to have a 9-to-5 in order to survive. And like, if the rap money ain't coming in, you know, you got to do something else. And he's like, no, nah, man, you know. I'm like, no, nigga.
It's that ego.
See, after a while,
it's that ego.
Yeah, it's that ego and delusion. Exactly. That they don't want to do nothing else.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, like, pride going to kill a lot of these guys. I'm proud that ego is a motherfucker, man. When it comes, okay, for me, right, when I graduated 2010, as soon as I graduated, I went to, I could draw. So my teacher was like, yo, you should draw blueprint. You should go into drafting. I was like, okay, cool. My mom didn't make me go to college. I wanted to go to college. You know what I'm saying? And got to school. That didn't work. You know what I'm saying? Then went into industrial maintenance. That's where I was learning welding and stuff. And I moved up here to Atlanta, and then that didn't work. And I had to change degrees. And I went through it, bro. And you got to get this paper, bro. You got to. It's no way around it. This shit ain't cheap. This ain't at all. It's in no form, no level. And you got to get smarter. And one thing what I tell artists, man, is like, read a book, bro. Like, read a book. They be like, you know, a lot of people like YouTube University, and which is cool. But if you don't know anything, you can't facilitate that. You can't move through that information and know what's real and what's fake.
Right.
If you don't know, you're gonna take bad information and you're gonna hold it in high regard. And I learned that the hard way, because I'm in music theory class. I'm playing the keyboards. I'm playing J. Cole in the morning. I'm playing that on the keys. I went on YouTube to learn how to play it, so I practiced all night. I get in class. My teacher is looking over my shoulder. He's watching me play. He's like, that's cool, but your fingering wrong. And I was like, what you mean my fingering wrong? He was like, yeah, you your fingers don't supposed to move like that. And I was like, man, I've been practicing all night and you tell me I'm doing it wrong? He was like, yeah. He was like, who taught you? I was like, YouTube. He said, yeah, if you knew better, you'll do better. You know what I mean? So you got to read a book, man. You got to invest in your knowledge, because when things do come, I ask artists all the time, bro, when you get that hit record, bro, you out of time. It ain't no time to – you out of time. It ain't no time to learn. It's gone. You on the rocket. And if you don't know what to do, at least on a ground basis to protect yourself, bro, you through. Are you ready for a hit record? Everybody want one, but are you ready? And the thing about it is people trying to make hit records. Bro, in this day and age, anything can go. That's why I say just do you. Be you. You, like, artists are now the hit record. I got that from Ray Daniels. He's like, artists are the hit record now. What's your story? What's your why? Like, you want to rap about the Ferrari and the cars and the money? And this ain't everybody, but these are the people that get the chances all the time. And he was like, what you will do with your first check? And they'll tell him, they were like, man, I'm really struggling and stuff. He was like, where's that song? Why you ain't rapping that song? So I'm just taking what I'm learning from people that got proof of concept. And also, I'm listening to me as well. And learning to trust myself and be coachable. A lot of artists ain't coachable. You gotta be coachable.
Yeah, you gotta be you gotta pretty much educate yourself getting into this thing, because there's so many parameters in the learning about how to maneuver in this business.
Man, it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And to defend the artists as well. Not everything is in a book, but bro, you got some of this. You got to have some common sense, bro. You got to know how to move in the room, and you only get one shot, bro. You only get one shot, so you can, if you know enough knowledge, you can get in the studio and you can be in that. You can be in the room and somebody recording, and you can say one thing, and everybody will put you on a different level as who was around you or your peers. Because they'd be like, damn, okay, he know that lingo. He know something. I ain't never heard artists talk like that. Now they interested. They want to know who you is. Now you back in the room just off of the knowledge that you gained. Just something small.
You know, when we look at the industry now, and we see it from a perspective of, especially with social media, mm-hmm. it is expedited celebrity. People are literally on the express lane in the luxury cab of the limelight overnight. But
mm-hmm.
conversely speaking, we are seeing individuals, like you said, is psychologically, monetarily in terms of business is one thing. Being mentally prepared for that level of attention and potential scrutiny that comes with it is quite another.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of artists publicly crash out because the light was too bright that it burned them.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at artists today, because obviously your wisdom is beyond your years in terms of the depth and the breadth of it, because
mm-hmm.
people have to understand this industry is not all that it seems.
For sure.
You're within that window of us in terms of that generation where we've seen how artists were coming in and what we're seeing now. What do you see is the difference in mannerism and overall approach to the rap game today? Go crazy.
Okay, so when it comes to the approach of this stuff, it's for some reason in our game, people try to approach it like this one thing works. Like, you got to do it just like this. And it's like, bro, at the same time, you can look around and see 10 niggas do it all different ways, and they eating it. I think everybody say they know, but nobody knows. Everybody's shooting in the dark until you actually do things with purpose. Like, it's at some point, you got to know who to listen to. You got to use your own discernment. When the approach to this game right now, it's the content. Content is very important. You know what I'm saying? That is very important. But it's also very hard, man, because everybody ain't made for that. Everybody is, and it's not to say they don't deserve to be there. It's different strokes for different folks. Literally, you just got it. The hard part is trying to figure out what works for you. And honestly, that should be the main thing. Because it's about community now. It's about community now. Like, I don't want to go to a showcase and rap anymore. Because most of those people there are not fans. They're artists. They're not buying music. They make music.
Right.
We trying to build community, right? So if we look into community is people that look like you. Not like on a physical aspect, but in the DNA of you. Like, the reason why I like Jonah Lucas or Kendrick Lamar is because I relate to them. The music was the introduction. Like, I heard Kendrick gonna Bury It Alive, and I was like, what the fuck? What is this? My homeboys were already on it. They were like, bro, that's K-Dot. You ain't heard Cartoons and Serial? I'm like, no. And through the music,
yeah,
I'm learning about this person.
That's what Johnny did with Gunplay, right? Cartoon Serial.
And now I'm learning, okay, damn, this person, I think like this person. That's why J. Cole is big, because he appealed to the college crowd. He went to school. He moved to New York. He was playing ball. And, you know, I know all of this because I'm part of the community. I am a fan, a real fan. It's people don't want the game to change, but it's about community now. The artist is the hit. The artist makes the music more. It's so much better when you know, like Confessions, like this. I'm getting all this from Ray Daniels, by the way. People need to watch him, The God Show. He was talking about the Confessions album with Usher. When that shit came out, we just knew that was about Usher and Chilli.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We knew it. But it was by Jermaine Dupri. That was Jermaine's situation. They didn't stop the, you know what I'm saying? They didn't stop the story, but it's the story, bro. The story connects the music. And once the story connects that music, bro, it just makes home. That's why I'm like, I am this. That's why I'm stating it now. I'm doing that. That's why when I learned this, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on my socials. And I'm explaining, like, I'm for the underdogs. If you feel like you ain't got a place, you always been unheard, you always been misunderstood, nobody listened to you, you wasn't cool, I wasn't popular, nigga. Like, I always walked to the beat of my own drum, and it takes a brave person to do that. You know what I'm saying? I was bullied. I wasn't cool. I was a quiet nigga out of my group. I had street niggas and I had school niggas. Like, And it changed for me once I got tired of it. That's when I accepted that black sheep. I accepted it. And then I started becoming more who I need to be to survive. And as a 32-year-old man, bro, which is not old, but as a 32-year-old man, I'm not here to survive no more. I'm here to live. And part of living is just being who you are and accepting everything that came with being who made you today. You know what I'm saying? So this approach to the game, I just think people need to let go all the biases, let go all the strings, figure out what works for you. What is your brand? What you want to do? If social media ain't your thing, you got to do it, but figure out the way most comfortable for you. Figure out the most genuine way. Because it's a thousand ways. We're talking about the internet, bro. Everybody that did something innovative in this world of the internet, they're not lacking no more. Like, Soulja Boy, people clown him. That nigga is not poor. He is not a poor nigga. You know what I'm saying? All these people that people love to bring up in these conversations, You will never be bigger than Young Thug, Lil Durk. They're the way. They did shit their way. Nobody looked it like them. They had people they looked up to. They had people that they, I mean, for God's sake, Future is part of the Dungeon family.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, and he did shit his way. It wasn't no Future before Future. It wasn't. It's all, if you look at this stuff, man, everybody who does it first, whoever, you cannot be bigger than the way. Never. So do you. Nobody do you better than you, bro. No, you, nobody can be you better than you. That's the, if you want to be different, be yourself. That's the easiest thing to do. And it's hard, too, because you got to strip yourself naked in front of people. And to be, you got to strip yourself naked. And I mean that in a lyrical sense. Like, when you rap, you are stripping these layers off of you and of revealing stuff you may not even talk to anybody about, and you finna put this on a microphone and put it for 1,000 people, for one person in the world that need to hear it. You stripping yourself naked in front of the world for that one person. So this shit bigger than me, man. This shit bigger than just uploads and downloads. You feel me?
When we look at the,
there's a lot to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, the logic is infinite in its intelligence. Me and my bro, we talk about this all the time on air, off air, with our guests and with each other. Everybody online to see everybody, you know, everybody's rich, everybody's popular, everybody's taking trips, everybody is that man or that woman in their city. Nobody ever wants to show the real life, because at the end of the day, that's what we're all living, real life, no matter what our reality is, you know. But it's also in situations where I look at it, it's like with Drake. Drake gets ribbed a lot because Drake did not have the same trajectory of entry as everybody else.
Right.
I myself, T-Max, I'm not personally a Drake hater. I'm not a Drake stan, but I'm not a Drake hater. And I respect the youngin' for what he's accomplished, because Drake came from a well-off family. He was on a hit TV show on Disney, you know, started doing music, had a talent for it, and became one of the biggest artists of our generation. And I know certain elements, like what, like King posted, you know, on the page earlier about what Drake said, nobody can fuck with him out there. I'm like, okay, Drake, we get it. You're a little pissed off because everybody's coming at you, because we can name a few guys that are a little bit better at the rhyming than you are. But we're not hitting on the success, saying that you can't be confident in what you do. Because Drake, I think, like anybody, gets tired of getting everyone taking shots at him. You know, this is off the cuff, so we keep it real. When we look at guys like Soulja Boy, we know Soulja Boy's not broke. I think sometimes the issue people have with Soulja Boy is he's a man that made it. He's one of the first that really took the internet and used it to his advantage to market himself. I tell anybody, y'all got to understand that boy's history of the Andre way. He was doing shows when he was 15 years old getting money. I think when we look at him now, but
yeah, he got it to the media digital side early. Like, he was ahead of the wave on that regard.
And think about it like this, bro. You know what's that? That brings another thing. Like, in this day and age, bro, just because you don't see somebody don't mean they not working. Like, in today's game, they think just because that you not outside, you ain't working. But, bro, it's people in Atlanta that we do not know that's getting paid for shows. It's a commute. Like I keep telling people, it's community, bro. You don't have to know. We all on social media. Your social media look bit different from your co-host because of what you're into. You make your algorithm. The cookies that you, the stuff that you click on, they take them cookies and they build it around you. You want to know somebody? go to their timeline. You'll know they got darkest desires. Like, because you're going to click it. It tells you everything. That way, it's a in today's world, you have your world and you have reality. Social media is your world that you built. So it's possible that somebody could sell out a show over here that's right beside you, and you know nothing. It's possible. It's built like that. That's why when they was like Soulja Boy, bro, people, that man got fans. Go ask a fan what he doing. Cause they can tell you. He just dropped last week. He just dropped this. He did this. This man shooting a movie. He'll be like, he doing all that? Yeah.
I think when people,
you ain't part of his community, so you don't know. That's what people doing with this absolute thing. They gotta, like, everything works like this. No, it don't, bro. You don't know because you don't follow.
Especially you got people that's not in the box. Especially when you have people that's not in the box and they sitting there going to try to tell you what's really going on. That's what's happening with a lot of the industry today. Like, you know, even with regards to some of the controversial stories that's surrounding a lot of the moguls, we all know who we're talking about here. But you got people that haven't even stepped out their stoop giving opinions about shit that's happening here.
And it's crazy, right? It's like, my thing is, ask questions, bro. Just ask questions. I promise you'll find out way more. You know, one of my biggest things, I don't like to assume anything because it makes you look like the first three letters of the word.
Ask. We know.
You know what I mean? So I don't like to assume. If I don't understand, I ask questions. And I just keep asking until I understand. And I think with this world, bro, it's either they don't want to understand or they just stuck in, it's the ego. I got to, like, if I don't want to do a certain thing on social media, right, people start, like an executive or something would take it as you being insubordinate. But maybe, bro, I know myself. Just because you say it's going viral right now, that don't mean it's going to work for me. You know what I'm saying? But I have to do it to show you that you're wrong. It's too late, man. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had to waste resources to go show, to do this, to show you that you was wrong. And when it don't work, you just going to look at me like, oh, shit, that didn't work. Motherfucker, I told you. Like, the content, the word, all this shit should be built around who you are. If you're going to do something that's not who you are, just understand what you're compromising. Because if it do pop, that's what people know you for.
Right.
So
it's called branding.
It's branding. Once it pops, like, people, we cannot sit here today and act like music cannot pop overnight. It done happened. Old Town Road was a year old. Want to say maybe two, going on two, and then it blew. That man.
With Maxwell, Maxwell dropped his song. Maxwell's first album was released in 1995, but it didn't really blow until like 1996.
And that's natural, bro. Like, I think with the internet comes a lot of information, and it's a lot of access to stuff. But one thing, the internet, you have to do your due diligence. You have to know what's real and what's not. And if you don't know anything, you are very impressionable. You know what I'm saying? It's not safe for you on the internet. You need to know. You need to get around somebody that got proof of concept. And that's why I'm trying to push to get around those type of individuals, because I ain't got enough. I'm not rich. I ain't got enough resources to be going out here bumping my head all the time. I'm not trying to take a L because of someone else's ego either. I want to take an L that equals a lesson. Now, if I'm a fail, I'm a fail because of me. I'm a bet on me all the time, every time. I'm not going to lose because of no ego or what you got going on. That don't make sense. I think people just got to get around people with proof of concept, man. Like, let's take all the fluff away. What have you done? And also, just because you haven't done nothing yet, it's like the key word is yet. You know what I'm saying? Key word is yet. Like me, people, execs like me when I talk to them. They like me because they were like, you get it. Y'all listen to me right now. We're doing this interview. My numbers don't match the type of artist that I am. Numbers are a result of resources. That's what that is. That has no reflection on the type of artist you are, or the brain that you have, or your quality as a person or artist. It has no reflection of that. It's a reflection on resources. That's it. If we had,
especially
when
the numbers ain't it with.
That's what I'm saying. And now things are getting so conflux out here. It's like, man, like what is real? What is real? I mean, you got a song that get 1 million streams in a day, or when it drops, you know what I'm saying, it get 1 million. You can have, the thing about it, what they're doing is like, you can have more than 500,000 streams. And if you boost it up to 1 million, ain't nobody going to be tripping. Because they like, damn, that could be possible. Like, if Drake was boosting his numbers, it's Drake, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I'm not a super huge Drake. I'm not a super huge Drake. Yeah, that's it, because it's hard to tell. It's just like when you get famous, bro. When you get famous, I love Ocho Cinco for what he said. Because who's going to tell? You know me. My name is worth more than the jury.
When he talked about his jury be fake, like when he talked about his jury was fake.
What do I have to show you for? You know who I am. You know what I do. You know what I'm about. You know I got a check. I don't need it. As far as we know, bro, every rapper can have CVs in their mouth. And just because they got the paper, we wouldn't challenge it. That's bad.
And you're right. You know, and you're right. Before we get too deep in, I want to make an editor's note because Maxwell's debut album was released in 1996, Urban Hang Suite, but it did take some months before it really caught on. You know, but like you said, it's about the numbers in terms of the organic reach of it, because it's all about how people respond. Like recently with Juvenile, he just dropped his a video for 400 Degrees. And
crazy.
His album was released over 25 years ago, 400 Degrees. You know, but it's beginning to catch that buzz because it was a hot song, no pun intended, and from a hot album. And a lot of you got to remember, some of the hip-hoppers today were even born when that joint was released initially. But now they're getting that lesson on it, and he's getting those numbers all over again because everybody's listening to it. And when you listen to the song itself, it sounds just as fire as it did back then, like it's a classic record.
Great music outlasts everything. What's that shit on Pound Cake? All this, you know, great music gonna last. All this other bullshit is here today and gone tomorrow. Like, that's true. What we doing it for? That's why I like to ask artists, why? What's your why, bro? What we doing this for? What we trying to win for? Are we trying to be famous? Or are we trying to get this chicken, man? We trying to get paid? You don't even have to do something you're not comfortable with. Like, now, understand, let me clear this up. Doing things that you're not comfortable with is growth on the other end of that.
That is true.
If it does not seek to have a purpose, you don't have to do that for that. Like, if you go to your doctor and your doctor tell you, hey, you need potassium. Okay, all you have to do, the doctor say, all you have to do is eat a banana. And you be like, man, I don't eat banana. The doctor ain't going to tell you, well, you got to eat banana. They're going to prescribe you a pill that gives you potassium. It's another way of doing things. So that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, we just got to, this shit got to get better, man. This shit got to get better, bro.
Well, we feel you, and we know the passion and the intelligence of which you speak, because they are equally astute and essential in education. We're seeing a time now where, in the culture, everybody mm-hmm. wants to be seen. You know, we look at Soulja Boy, who we were talking about earlier. I think mm-hmm. sometimes the people have their issues with Soulja Boy, and I've said this at times myself. I'm not going to throw a rock and hide my hand. I think sometimes with the way he acts, I'm like, dude, you made it already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, but he, in his mind at times, he's still carrying it like he's that 16-year-old. I'm like, dude, you're 33. You're 32, 33 years old now. You know, mm-hmm. if there's a point where there's the growth. And at times, I think that's where people have the criticisms, because there's always going to be criticisms of you. That's just life, because not everybody's going to approve of what you do, and that's not for everybody to approve, conversely speaking. You don't do silly shit out there in public to where people have ammunition to criticize you. And I'm not just talking about Soulja Boy. I'm just talking about in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you choose to get in this game, like you said, and I am about the why, you have to look at the effects of the why and the cause of the why.
Yeah, you got to weigh that shit up, man. You got to weigh that shit
up. Because then it comes into the end result of when you become a public figure, you have to watch what you're doing in public. You know, some mm-hmm. people will do this silly shit. Whether we've seen, quote-unquote, social media personalities do silly shit, you know, in the name of comedy or being unconventional or being controversial. And I'm like, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with comedy as long as it's rooted in a real place of laughter and not self-degradation, mm-hmm. humiliation, and racial, stereotypes. It's mm-hmm. okay to be opinionated and controversial in that, as long as it's rooted in intelligence and facts. It is okay to be different, because nobody mm-hmm. can tell you how to be you, like you said. But it's also, you have to understand, is the world ready for what you may be putting out there? Some things you don't necessarily need to have out there in the name of, this is me, and I want everybody to see it. You know, because at the end of the day, you have to live your life out loud at full volume. But you can't get mad if people be like, they don't like the volume that you turned it up at either.
But that's all that comes back to, though. Why they have a hard time adjusting, because they wasn't being who they was in the first place. Like, if you being who you are, you could take the consequences. I'm cool. Like, I'm cool, bro. I'm going to be me. I don't care what room I'm in. I'm going to be me. I am layered. I might adjust my attributes for the situation, but I'm not changing who I am. If a consequence comes with that, I am okay with accepting that consequence. And that's why I said the villain. You got to be okay. They say if you live long enough, you will become the villain in your own story.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. And I'm only 32. I don't know what life's going to look like.
Yeah, they said you're either going to die the hero or live long enough to become the villain.
Exactly. And so if you're going to be yourself, sometimes you're going to have to be the villain. Because you ain't going to work with everybody. It ain't going to work with everybody. And that's okay. I'm not going to force it. Like, if you really believe what's for you is for you, you would move like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not disrespecting nobody or nothing like that, because being a villain is not about that. being who you see on that picture, being that's the ugly side. It's ugly sides of being yourself, man. It's ugly sides of being you. And that's just what it is. That's what come with it. It's ugly sides of being a king. It's ugly sides of being the number one in whatever area. It's ugly sides. Now, that's why that why question is so important, because what you suffering for. That's why I say accept all consequences. It's just pain anyway. I can't speak for nobody else, but when it comes to me, if I'm willing to down that hill, it's just something like, and that's just what come with it. That's just, you know, that you got to stand for stuff, man. You got to stand for something. Like, when it comes to, I got two little boys, man, and ain't no, they ain't going to have no OG outside the house. Like, I'm your OG. Ain't no gang. Who? You joining who? Okay, tell them to come on over here. If they can whip my ass, they can have you.
But they can shoot it out, one or the other.
But I'm telling you, bro, we ain't doing that. You got to stand for something, man. Everything, I got a little quote. I say, man, when it comes to a picture, it was a very small pencil or paintbrush that made that picture. You know what I'm saying? It's those small things make big pictures, man. It's not the big hole that sinks the boat. It's the small ones. It's the small ones, man. We can't sweep everything under the rug. You know what I mean? You gotta stand in your light, bro. And that's okay. And like I said, I'm not for everybody. I don't think God made anybody for everybody. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that. I think you gotta find your tribe. I think you gotta find those people. And for you to find those people, you have to be who you are. You got to. If you want to find true,
you ain't comfortable.
You're not comfortable in your own skin. Yeah. You got to be, bro. Imagine when you get an opportunity and you fold on your morals or whatever you stand on. You get that, and you don't know what comes after that now. We don't know what the world looks like after that. You do it, it goes. Now you like, damn, bro. You can't back now, because they going to look at you like you folded the first time. You folded the first time. You telling me no now? Oh, no, we ain't doing that. You ain't telling me no now. Come on, we got to keep going. Then that's why I feel like that, like what you were saying, like by Soulja Boy, he already paid. I feel that same way by Drake. Like, bro, I love Take Care and Nothing Was the Same. And I'm not saying you need to make that. I know we can go back and play those albums, but what I want from you, you don't have to chase the game no more, bro. You are who you are. You don't have to do that no more. Make what you love. Go to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? I want to know what that guy looks like in 2024. That's what I just want the substance back, bro. I just want, because at this point, you so big, the younger kids gonna come anyway. They can't dodge you. And that comes into the conversation about why we getting the music that we getting. Like, people say if people stop playing it, they'll do something different. Bro, we gonna act like consumers control what come out the radio? Because the powers that be, they gonna make you like what they want you to like. All they gotta do is keep spinning it.
That's true.
It's psychology. If artists, all we got to do, it's simple, bro. All we got to do, because we the cool kids. We tell everybody else what's dope. When did the cool kids start listening to the niggas that follow? Consumers don't know what they want, bro. They don't know. They don't know.
Consumers only being fed. They only being fed what they're told to want.
Exactly. If you think they, and I know everybody pick on Sexy Red, but Sexy Red, I see why she going. Because she's authentic. It's everybody knows Sexy Red in every neighborhood and everywhere.
That's everybody real, though.
Everybody know one, though. Bro. And guess what? If we representation is important, right?
Right.
So if it's millions of Sexy Reds out there, it makes sense for this to go for her. She represents a bunch of motherfuckers in this cycle.
The ratchets. We don't say it off the cuff. It's the ratchets.
and it's something for everybody. That's why I want to. Marketing is literally about, it's a field for everybody. It's so many people on this earth, bro. You telling me that nobody like your music? That's why I said your numbers come back to resource.
Some people are limiting their sales. So they limiting their sales, and then they limiting their reach. Because sometimes you just aim it out of your reach. Like, you're hitting a certain demographic that's not digestible for your style.
Right. But now, let's be honest. Figure that out. It takes some bucks. It takes some money. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna put this out there, and you're gonna filter it out and filter it and filter it until you get down to know what your fan looks like. Okay, your fan is this. If they have these five things here, they will be your fan. Easy. Oh, now we just gotta aim for them people. But it's a process to that, and you gotta have the money to go through that process. Because you got to start broad and then start filtering down. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like you said. And the thing about when we look at the music now, the generation we came from, because this is where, like you said, Naeem, about how it's marketed. We came up in a time where we read the magazines, we watched Rap City, Yo MTV Raps, Video Music Box. We're going to call it for what it is, too, because back in the days with the DJs and radio stations, before it went corporate, the DJs could play a record and let it see if it organically it reached the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We're not naive. We all know how this game works now from a perspective of it's corporate. A good friend of mine in the area, of Hampton Roads, Virginia, who's a prominent DJ, he told me they give him a playlist, and he has to play from it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, and that's what it is, So when you look at that, it's also, I think, what we get into also, Naeem, is in King, it's about the, I'm going to go there to a degree. It's about the apathy with some of the listeners. Because back in the day, we were coming up, we were very adamant about finding something new. We didn't just settle for what was out there. We were always looking for some shit that nobody else knew about. Mm-hmm. And now we're in a place and time where the culture of music, how it's distributed and digested, nobody wants to listen to anything different. Everybody wants to listen to the same shit, And it just is like, where is it everybody wants to be different? Everybody want to be the same now.
Because, to the artist, man, it's like, okay, this what y'all want. This was working. If that what y'all want, I'm going to give you that. But that's why you got to know, what is your end goal? Are you just trying to make it in here and... Are you trying to be on the bench in the NBA, or are you trying to play? Now, two different
right,
things.
Right,
both of them are winning.
Right.
Both of them made it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may be the king of and also, I want to add this. Just because they're on that bench, them niggas ain't no average niggas. They'll go out to a regular court and bust somebody's ass.
Right.
So they're not... They're not humble, But the thing is, you got to know what you want to do it for. You know how many people in the NBA that they could push the beat, the play, be that guy. But, nigga, I'm making $300,000 a year to sit here. I'm cool.
On the bench.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to ask yourself what you want to do it for. If you just want to sit on the bench, that's cool. Move out the way. Go over there. Do that over there. Get out my way. I think everybody just needs to say their attention, and this shit won't be so goddamn fuzzy. Say what you want. If you want to get fucked, there's plenty of people that will fuck you, bro. You ain't got to worry about that. You are a bad bitch in this industry, my nigga. Like, if you just say it, they coming. You gotta let them know your attention. You know what I mean? And I'm not here. I'm here to like set my family up, bro. My government name is Alante Francois. I'm the only Francois. My birth mom, she disappeared and gave me up when I was 3 months old. My dad, you know what I'm saying, gave me off. My mom that raised me, she's biologically my cousin, but I don't give a damn. That's my mom, and she raised me. You know what I'm saying? This whole thing, bro, is just about just figuring this shit out, man. You gotta be you, man. You gotta do this thing. You gotta stay on point. And you just gotta be open. I lost my point.
No, it's okay. No. The thing is that, you know, everybody, there's a certain perception of what everybody has in the industry of what they think is going to be and what it actually is. And I think people have to understand this is a life that you have to be prepared for, not only from the fame, but when the fame stops as well.
Yeah.
That is something that you know, and some people, like you said earlier, Naeem, when you think about what it means to be in the game and, you know, everything's rolling, sometimes the enemy of people is solitude because they're not prepared to do anything afterwards. And that's where, when you are in your quiet time, that's where you need to be planning the next move. We see some people, they're cold in the industry, so what do? Go out and do some shenanigans to get back out there again, whether they diss somebody or they do something crazy. And people have to understand what you were talking about earlier. It's okay to live a regular life. You don't have to be, as we call in show business, on all the time. You know?
Right.
You know? But people don't get that, you know? And I think this is why we see a lot of stuff happening with artists today where they're finding themselves in these bad situations, you know, whether about a groupie that they knocked off or whatever, or, you know, dudes just randomly dissing each other. And I'm like, don't y'all niggas got anything else to do besides fuck different bitches? Did everybody else stop fucking and then just leave a man alone? I'm like, for real though?
Think about it. You got to be, man, you know, it's so hard being yourself, bro. When you get in these rooms with these people and you see them, some people say do as the Romans do. Like Royce 5'9 was talking about, he took his first, and, you know, he had to go to rehab and for alcoholism, you know what I'm saying? He was an alcoholic, and he was like, man, I took my first drink with Dr. Dre. And that was the start of it all. And I was just trying to do as the Romans do. But that, you don't know how that shit affects you. You know what I'm saying? So, and then somebody asked him what was his biggest mistake. Like, he was like, man, taking that drink with Dr. Dre. That was started it. So, and Dr. Dre didn't mean no harm to him. It's just some things you got to know yourself well enough to be like, nah, that ain't me. Royce talked about it, like, his family got addiction issues. You know what I'm saying? That's in his
DNA.
Right. So looking back at it, he was like, man, my dad was on the cocaine, you know what I'm saying? And you know, he went through that. And if I were to tie that together, you know what I mean? some families are like that, bro. Some people's family backgrounds and stuff like that, you might not want to play with it because in your genome, it likes it. You got to be careful.
I mean, it's like with Scott Storch. He talked about interviewing XXL some years ago when he, you know, talked about how he blew through his money. But it turned out when he had talked about an interview, he said his dad was, a heavy gambler and a drug user. You know, so, you know, when you're dealing with those addictive personalities, it really can be serious because we all got things that we like, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I like pretty women, Jordans and jewelry, and books.
Everybody has a passion.
But there are also some people that, depending on what they do, if they do it, they're going to like it, and they're going to like it a whole lot.
Hey,
you know,
Duval was like, little Duval, he was like, man, I didn't do cocaine because I knew I liked it. Like, I knew I liked it. I said, that's why I stayed away from it. I knew I liked it.
And Richard Pryor,
when he got hit by that car that gave him morphine, he was like, oh, this shit feels incredible. Now he was like, oh, nah. That, he was like, I knew I liked cocaine. That's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, rest in peace to Richard Pryor when he did the him and Barbara Walters. Rest in peace to both of them when Barbara Walters asked him, she's our white godmother of this. You know, our white auntie, because, you know, she was dope with the interviews, and she asked them straight up, like, do you like cocaine? Richard said, no, I love it. That's why I have to stay away from it.
It's crazy, bro, because if you look at it, people, they tell you, they telling you,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you are self-aware enough, and if you pay attention, if you're the type of person that don't have to bump their head all the time, you can look at other people's vices and how they dealt with it and their story. You can be like, okay, nah, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that, bro. You got one time to tell me, so I ain't got to touch it, bro. I'm good. You know?
But, you know, but when you get into that celebrity life, you know, got the Cat Williams on Shay Shay, called Shay Shay, you know, when Cat talked about just being in the industry and, you know, being around stuff. You know, when you're dealing with that, you're going to come across a lot of different people and you're going to see a lot of different things. And people, you know, you could get caught out there on some stuff and people are going to say things about you. You know, I would tell anybody, not because I'm famous, had the pleasure to hang around a lot of famous people I can call friends. But one thing about it is, like you said, always be yourself. Because when you get out there, depending on what you do, that level of temptation, anything from wine to women, or a little bit of both, you know, you get, you know, when it's a, you know, and this isn't a bad story. Shout out to Red Cafe and Shakedown. Rest in peace, Bullet. And I got to hang out with them when they were out here some years ago in Virginia. And, you know, I'm hanging out with them at a venue before they perform. I'm in the green room with them. So we all just kicking back. And, I mean, I'm seeing, like, all the groupies, like, give it back at one time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, I mean, that's the life. And
but see,
you know,
gotta stand on, at the end of the day, you gotta stand on your square, man, because you coming in for business. You coming in to do tracks.
Right.
You ain't coming in to smoke and drink, nigga. You supposed to come in here and be like, look, it ain't that type of party. We here to do the tracks, you get the paperwork done, blase blase. We ain't here to party, we ain't here to smoke. I don't know. We ain't doing that.
You gotta know what you. That's why I say, man. Like, that's why I lost it earlier. But like I was saying, my name is Alante Francois, but I'm the only one. My kids are behind me. I got to make sure I set them up, bro. what I look like. I'm hustling for my last name, not the first, you know. And it just when you get in these, when it's your time, bro, when it's in the, you got to keep that in your mind. You got to stay grounded. And I hate you know, being humble. You know, people usually say be humble when they want you to turn your light down. But I think you should just definitely shine bright, but also understand your why. That why should never leave your brain. As long as you working and doing whatever you're doing, whether you are working a 9-to-5 or whether you up a mill and you doing whatever you want to do throughout the day, whatever your businesses are, you got to keep that why. That why going to bring you back down. But self-awareness is a motherfucker, man. It's not that many people. That's a talent. That's a hell of a skill set. Self-awareness. Discernment. That shit hard to come by. For real.
It is.
Like, it is. It's hard to come by. Like, a person that's able to do... All my partners smoke and drink. All of them did. I don't smoke or drink. Everybody I've always been around, they always did. One or the other. You know what I'm saying? And I just never felt the need to do it because I'm like, bro, I'm naturally high. I can get high off the oxygen, man. I'm high off the atmosphere. Like, I'm good. I'm turned up just like you turned up. I don't have to indulge with you. I can make you feel at home. You want to get live? You want to dance? You want to laugh? That's just my personality. But I'm also, you know what I'm saying, I get it, though, man. I definitely get it. I just, and everything in moderation is great. As long as you moderate it, keep your eye on it, know who you are, you should be fine. But know yourself, though. Definitely know yourself. You got to face that man in the mirror. That man in the mirror is hard. That's why people, during COVID, man, it was so hard for people. You know, a lot of people stay busy, so they don't have to look in the mirror. A lot of people stay busy, so they don't have to look in it. And COVID kind of slowed everybody down, and a lot of people didn't want to spend time with themselves. Like, that shit get deep. Shit get deep.
Yeah, and that's something where, as we said earlier, you have to be able to understand, you know, what it's like on the downside. Because some people, once they get out there, they just really are out there to a degree that they overindulge, that they cannot get out of that life. And, you know, when it slows down for them, that is the worst thing. But there's nothing wrong with quietness and solitude. Matter of fact, you need it, because I couldn't imagine being a celebrity like that and literally your life is on go 24/7. I mean, literally, Jay-Z ain't dropped an album in like, what, 6-7 years. And you know, even though that man ain't dropped an album, that man is still busy. He's just not in the spotlight busy. But, I mean, you got to wonder for guys like him who are legendary, who are, you know, business legends. You got to wonder, what's the regular day like for that dude? Does he really have a chance to relax?
Right. I think that's the key thing, like that right there, asking mm-hmm. yourself those questions, because I think everybody should do that, bro. I'm not on yet, right? But when I'm going to push to make this thing go, and when it happens, right, I need mm-hmm. to ask myself now, what am I willing to sacrifice?
Right, right.
Because once it goes, it goes. Now you're on the road. What that look like for you? What you going to do? You need to know what you're going to do with your first check before you even get it. You need to know, you need to put yourself in those shoes, in that place in real time, and calm yourself, because when it happening, your brain going to be everywhere. You got to calm yourself down. And the more you give yourself practice on that moment, you know what to expect. I know my two sons. I know I'm with them every day. You know what I'm saying? I love my kids, and it's like, okay, Alante, okay, what you going to do? When it's pop, what you're going to do? Because it's going to pop. Now, at that moment, you get to it's a very short window. You get to tell what you want it to look like. You control what it looks like for a very short window. And what that decision is about is you ain't going to have a lot of time to sit on that decision. Because once you make that decision, that's what it's going to look like until years later when you're able to change it. So what you going to do? Okay, cool. I want my kids on the road with me. I know it's possible because I see Gates with his kids on the road. And I don't expect my fiance to be there all the time, but I want her there. You get what I'm saying? Like, I understand that this might not be made for her. The kids might not like it either. And that if they don't like it, that's okay. You know what I mean? Do you want to be able to still walk around Walmart? Do you want to say, you got to ask these things. What do you value? It's people out there that's living a great life that they can still walk around in Walmart. And they tour. You know what I mean? It's a dude, my homeboy Don Michael Jr. I don't know if y'all knew the guy, but he went viral on the internet. He being like a 42-year-old rapper. Mm-hmm. He was going viral.
Yeah.
Because his music, he was picking on his, he was picking on what the bias of what a 42-year-old rapper would sound like. And then once he'll press record and then the song sounds dope. And they were like, damn, this is what a 42-year-old sound like in 2020, you know, 324? So he was telling me about another artist that he get a million or 3 million streams a month. He makes $250,000 a month. That's what he told me. And I was like, damn, for real? He was like, man, that man makes $250,000 a month. He don't tour. He don't do no shows. He just make music and content. That's it. He makes $250,000 a month. And when he sent me the link to the guy. Yeah, but guess what, though? If you would tell somebody that that exists, they'll be like, you lying. No, it ain't. The dude, and when he sent me the link to the dude, I was like, oh, I seen him. I know who he is. He was like, yeah, bro, eat it. Like, he figured it out, but he figured it out what works for him. You get what I'm saying? It's what works for him. When he went through his process or how he was changing his mind or how it looks, because, you know, a lot of us artists don't like doing the content part. And I think it is kind of messed up that artists have to do, like, 8 different things when it comes, but everybody else get to do their one thing. But artists can't do just one thing. We got to make the content. We got to record. We got to know a little bit, like, we got to know a little bit about lighting, videography. We got to know a little bit of everything. Nobody else has to do that like that. You know what I'm saying? They really do it because they have, you know, because they want to. You know what I mean? And artists, we kind of live and die by that sword. We have to do this stuff. And he changed his mindset on how he viewed content and how he viewed this whole process and what it looks like for artists in today's time. And that's what something I was looking into and me and Don was talking about. And I was like, damn, yeah, that's right. And even with music, I'm working with a music gazette right now named Gino. Shout out Gino. And he was telling me, like, he was like, yo, you know, you remind me of, like, Kendrick. You're like the Kendrick Cole. You in that kind of lane. And he was like, one thing those guys do very well is they make dope content with their music, whether it's their videos, whether it's, you know what I'm saying? They make dope content that appeals to what they got going on. And he was like, that's what you're going to have to do. So it's a beautiful thing once you figure out. But what you were saying, bro, asking yourself that question, what you willing to sacrifice? Put yourself in that space for real, like, and really figure out what you're going to give up. Because you're going to give up something now. You ain't going to keep everything. You're giving up something.
And that's what we were saying, man, because, you know, people don't understand, like, you know, are you really ready to have your life scrutinized in a public fashion? Like, you know, even if it's something as little as you wearing the same outfit twice a month, you know, I mean, people are going to say, well, such and such ain't got no clothes. I'm like, well, I don't see the point of spending. Man, look, you be seeing some of these celebrities, you be hearing they spend $25,000 a month on clothes, and I'm like, what?
Bro,
you know,
they wonder why they're in the hole.
What's even more wild than hell, the richer you get, the more stuff you get for free.
Exactly. It's what they say, when you're rich, you get the stuff for free that poor people have to pay for.
Man, but you know what? But those people that give you those type of comments, you got to understand they're not a part of you. They're not of your DNA. They're not a part of your tribe. It's not for everybody. Like, everybody want to be so inclusive, but, bro, you not for everybody. If they put you up on Shade Room, all them people that follow Shade Room, they're not there for you. You know what I'm saying? They're not there for you, bro. So if they put you on Shade Room, they're gonna like some people gonna fuck with you. You're gonna get some fans off of it. But if they fire your ass up, man, and they start clowning on you, you gotta understand these are not your tribe.
People be thinking automatically. They be thinking automatically. Those people gonna instantly gonna follow you, man. Your page could get hacked, and it's still a struggle to get people to follow.
It's just like, man, the people that feel you are going to come. If you build it, they will come. In marketing, they say if it's a need, make it. If it's a need for a product, somebody fills that hole. It's a need already. Like, the 101, find something that is rare. Because most, ask people what they want. If it's nothing but pizza around you and you want a burger, I would think the next best business move would be to make a burger place. It's not hard. I'm from a small town, bro. I'm real small town. And it's nothing like me around there. Now, Albany got some guys, all them guys I'm cool with. We are not the same, but we are got the same cause. You get what I'm saying? Can rap their ass off. Shout out to Joe Grizz, Freddie Mac, Los De Niro, Dre Benji, that's my boy. Dre Benji. I'm shouting all my guys out. Shout out to Cantrell, too. Can't forget Cantrell.
Man, yeah. Shout out all your folks. Shout them all out.
Yeah, man. And they can rap, bro. Like, if y'all want some good music, and this underground shit, like Joe Grizz, I told him yesterday, I said, bro, you like the South Georgia Crit. You like the South Georgia Big Crit. He was like, man, I like that. I could feel that. I was like, bro, I ain't lying. That's what you sound like. That Freddie Mac is a lyrical. Like, if you like that old school hip hop with a bit of, with like, not the melodic rap. Like, nah, it's soulful, like soulful rap. Los De Niro is just a great rapper. He's just a great rapper. If you want like a great commercial sound and stuff, with some lyrical attached to it that feels good, that's Dre Benji all day. And he signed with Ruthless Killer. They partnered with Empire. So these guys, we got some stuff going on down here, bro. It's just we need more people to tap in. And that's why I'm shouting these boys out now, because we deserve that shot, bro. I tell execs all the time, just like, because I watch the podcast, I don't know if y'all watch it, the one with Wendy Day, the Rap Juggernaut, what it's called, Chico, on YouTube, I watched, and they always talking about these certain type of artists, and I'll be like, I told Gino, I was like, yo, bro, why do execs go for these type of artists? He was like, what you mean? I was like, bro, why y'all go for artists that ain't invested in themselves for real? not to say he did it. It was just a conversation we was having. And I was like, why y'all go for articles? If it was a company, y'all wouldn't do it. He was like, damn, you right. I was like, y'all get attached to the person and where they from. Yeah, you like your personal liking of it, but y'all ain't giving it a need. And also, when it comes to artists, if it was me, I would invest in artists that know what it feels to lose their own money. Like, hell, villains, we shooting villains now. I'm sure I'm over $1,000. I'm sure I'm way over $1,000 in what I put into that video. Traveling, hotel, you know what I'm saying? Makeup, et cetera. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we got to get away. We got to give to the people who deserve it, bro. Who's out here investing in themselves? Who done lost some real, like, whether it's 10,000, whether it's 5,000, hell, when you don't got that money, bro, $1,000 feel like 10,000, maybe 100,000, shit. Find an artist that's investing in themselves, bro. They're the ones that you want to bet with because they don't want to use your money and fuck up. They know what it feel like. And I think we just need to look at stuff different, bro. The game is asking for a lot of new shit. And I know I'm one of them. I was told I had to move to New York. Like a DJ told me that. He was like, yo, you got to move to New York if you want your shit to pop. You got to move to New York. I was like, I don't got to move no damn New York. It's going to pop. It's going to pop regardless. You got the internet, bro.
You got to bring.
Like,
because even when you're you're moving, you still gonna be the smaller fish in the big pond, but that's like everybody trying to get on over there.
Yeah. It was bad business, but this dude, I think they still scamming people. Industry All Access. But the dude was like, man, you gotta make yourself look like a big fish in that small pond. You're like, that's what you gotta do. And that was the truth. Dude knew the industry. He just scamming like a motherfucker. But he was like, yo, you got to make yourself like a big fish in that small pond. How you do that? You got to invest in yourself. In my visuals, that's what I'm doing, man. I'm pushing some dope shit. I look like a fucking werewolf right now. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen that done. I'm kind of like Jonah Lucas when it comes to creativity. And with that, he got a chip on his shoulder too. He got that dog in him. He just got this lion in him. And that's, I got that. And I think when it comes to the execution of records, I think I got that Kendrick Lamar thing. When it comes to executing and finding different pockets and playing with different flows, I think I have that when it comes to that. Being just different in general, I think that's an Andre 3K thing. And I switched my voice up in music too, bro. Like, that's not the studio doing that. That's really me. Like, switching my voice up and doing shit like that. You feel me? Like, that's me. And I'm just rapping different because it gives a different feel. Like, so it just, switching your voice up, using it as an instrument, and pictures, man, in a different way. If you want something different, and if you want something that got some substance to it, and it takes you somewhere you ain't been before, I'm your guy, man. Like, but I got a question for you guys. What do y'all want? Y'all interview artists all the time. Y'all talk to a bunch of people. What do y'all want right now from artists?
King, go ahead. I'll answer after you.
Oh, go ahead, T-Mask. I got to cut this volume down before I answer. You know, there's a lot of noise back here.
I think what we want with artists is to believe in, is to understand, have an education of the culture and what it represents, and to be themselves. Because we're never going to tell anyone how to be themselves. But we also say, understand what the culture is in terms of how rich, detailed, historic, and essential it is for us as a people. and also understand the business of it as well, in terms of when you get in it, knowing the sacrifices and be a student of how things move. You know, people, you know, a lot of times, we tell this any artist out there, understand that this is not something that you just luck into. Mm-hmm. With this show, we didn't just luck into doing 613 episodes.
Right.
You know, this takes time,
work,
it takes work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to collaborate and connect with people who you know have the same interest as you, and most importantly, want to see you win.
Okay. So, that kind of, I always, I like to look at that, too, is, don't be too cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too cool. You know what I'm saying? Don't be too cool. Go out there and talk. So, okay. Your co-host need an answer, man. I got to get y'all names, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I had to cut the volume down because, you know, I have all this noise in the background. So, yeah, man, what we want artists to, first of all, do, they gotta stand on integrity because their microphone is real strong. It's real powerful.
Yeah.
And they represent a strong voice to a lot of people that, believe it or not, look up to them, right or wrong. But if you go ahead and stand on integrity, those doors are going to open eventually. Now, you know, nobody's perfect and nobody's a role model, but integrity should come first. Like, if anybody stay in their ground, be like, look, I ain't had to go party with Diddy to get on. I ain't had to give it up in the rear view to get on. I went ahead and do my music, dedication, perseverance, and drive. You show that type of philosophy to people, it's going to make them rock with you even more.
Hey,
when
you said persistency, I got this thing. I want to know what y'all think about it. I think, when it comes to persistence and consistency, it's two different things. Cause, I love what you're saying, and it just brought me to this. Cause I was going through a struggle when we talked about it earlier. I was speaking on, you could be working and nobody see you. You know what I'm saying? You could be in the gym. You know, persistence is you being consistent through struggles, through challenges, through adversity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Consistency is on the outside of you. What you're bringing out. So consistency involves what people see. You know what I'm saying? What I'm putting. When it comes to the music now, you know, because you can be, I can know, I'm being, that's why I say persistence is you being consistent through the struggles and tribulations. Because it may be slow, but you still doing this shit all the time, all day. This is on your mind every day. You always doing it. Life is hitting you at the same time. It's just slowing you down, but you never stopped. That's something within that's behind a closed door. But consistency,
right.
Consistency looking like, hey man, you gotta be more consistent. You know, the artists think we hear that a lot. Hey man, be more consistent. But honestly, you don't know that person is being consistent, just dealing with what they got going on. You know what I mean? So that's why I like you said persistent. I like that you said that. I like that, man, because people, we go through a lot. Y'all go through a lot, man. This shit ain't cheap to get this shit going, bro. This shit ain't easy.
Fact, man. The only they knew, they be thinking, damn, man, all these niggas could do is just hit somebody up and we talk on the phone. Nah, man, it's like you got to cavitate interest. You got to promote. You got to do your own flyers. You got to make sure the audio is correct. And on top of that, you got to make sure the content is most importantly invoking for the listener. It's a whole lot to go into it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You good. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, and more like you said, one thing about it is that when people, and we've seen this lane really open up over the past few years, I've been part of Off the Cuff for the past 7. King, this is his baby. You know, he started it 10 years ago. This is something that people now, as we've seen years later, it's been fashionable to get into the podcast domain. But people don't understand is that you have to have the prerequisites of education, academia, people skills, most importantly, and how to engage an audience. And just overall, bringing a positive energy to the conversation. You want to stand on business from a perspective of integrity, morals, and a place of honesty and candor. You don't want to let people, you don't want to make people, you don't want people feeling like when they come on they're about to be set up for some bullshit. We don't do that, unlike some people out there. You know, and a lot of our guests, we've been blessed that we've met them face-to-face, either before the show or after the show, in terms of, you know, when we had them on. But this is more than just doing this shit to look cool online to say I co-host a podcast. No. Because you can say you do something, but do you do it well? Are you consistent? Do you have a passion? And is it purposeful with the intention of cultivating a growth that fertilizes the next generation of young journalists who are going to follow in your footsteps? What road of benefit and prosperity do you leave paid for them, or do you leave a dirt trail of desolation and moralist drivel?
Yeah, that's deep. Yeah, bro. That's deep. You have to remember it's bigger than you.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
This shit is so much bigger than you. I got another question for you guys. Like, okay, as an artist, how would y'all explain to other artists and other people listening, can you give them a rundown on how to actually build a team? What does that look like for you guys, in y'all opinion? What gives some artists some, or give me a piece of that mindset of building a team, what you think is, how it looks? Because nobody really, even on podcasts, nobody really talks about the process of how to get a team together. And what that really looks like. Can y'all speak on that?
Absolutely. I'll be the first to speak on that. I'll go in and say, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real about this one here. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's not going to be easy. Because, number one, you got to take people through trial periods. But sometimes you can't have blind loyalty with anybody because, especially if it's a family member or a friend, because that's where a lot of people fail. Like, they have blind loyalty to their friend. And even if the friend is costing them money or not showing up or, you know, asking messed up questions, they still keeping them on because that's loyalty. You got to put the love in your back pocket and stay on business. Even if it's your friend. Like, sometimes you got to know how to put the love in, put your heart in your back pocket and talk to them like a business. Like, okay, we doing business now. We got to talk about the brand. Because, see, people mix business with business too much, and that's where it crumbles. So you got to fish out who's going to be loyal. Now, if you give him the trial period of at least about a good 6 months to a year, he may be good. And even within, there's no guarantee. So you got to always be looking for replacements in case. Or be prepared to do things on your own for a minute until another replacement comes, because we've had a lot of people. We tested them out, and some of them were good, but they didn't have the consistency. You got to also look for consistency as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have people that one day they're going to be there and miss 5 shows and then come back and do one show. It can't work that way.
Oh, right.
I guess this is from my side of it, because I was a listener of the show and I fucked with it heavy. Called in one night, you know, and I would call in and we had a great discussion on some stuff. They liked me so much they brought me in.
That's dope.
And,
yeah.
And
it's also about chemistry, too. Like, it got to be chemistry and energy as well, because two niggas with bad chemistry is not going to work. When eventually somebody's going to fight.
you do not want toxic talks on air. Oh my God, because that will ruin some shit. I mean, because the last thing you want is destructive dialogue. Like King said, I'm eternally grateful for what they've extended to me. And Sandman, you know, who basically presented it, and all of them agreed that I would, you know, be brought in. And, you know, and I've been there ever since. Also, too, even with all of Puff Daddy's recent issues, he did, it doesn't mean that the man didn't have jewels on certain things. The one thing he said that I always remember, look for the people who are going to do all the hard work without you asking them. Those are your people.
That's what made T stand, and that's what made T stand out. Because I ain't had to hold his hand, I ain't had to remind him. He went ahead and did it. He went ahead and started finding guests. I ain't had to, you know what I'm saying, do the big brother thing. Like, bro, you need to go ahead and do this. To go ahead and do it. Nah, he went ahead and did it because he loves what he does.
Yeah, this team, and that's kind of like. Being a true fan and an appreciation of something, you want to do that regardless. Like, you got people that go on whoever did Instagram and be like, "Yo, bro, you need look." They want to see you win, so they gonna give you ideas. It's always gonna be constructive. You know what I mean? Like, the people that really fuck with you, they ain't gonna never just talk to you any kind of way. It's always going to be in a way that they want to see you win. Even if they don't know, they just come in with sincerity. And I think that's what's important, too. You can sense that. And even with me sitting here with you guys for the first time, it feels good because King over there, my he's uncut. Like, his voice even like, "I'm here." You know what I'm saying? And you kind of give that settleness to it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good dynamic. It feels good. And I was thinking about that earlier while I was listening to y'all talk. And I was like, yo, this, I can see why they work. I can see why y'all work.
Yeah. And one thing about it, too, is when we go get guests, we reach out to a lot of people. So people have to understand this, too. When you're approaching, because there's been a lot of, you know, not it's nothing negative, but there's a lot of famous rappers that we reached out to, you know, and, you know, whether it was Cocaine, shout out to Uncle Coke, Big Hutch, shout out to Kenya Ware, you know, who does the wardrobes for New Edition, one of our biggest supporters, even former porn stars, shout out to Sierra, you know, and Nayuri, you know, who are big supporters of us.
That's dope.
When you are going, this is the thing people have to understand. When you are approaching people, no matter whether they're former porn stars, whether they're rappers, there's an element of respect that is paramount. I won't even say element. It's essential.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're selling them on coming on. And they don't know you before you approach them, so you want to facilitate a conversation that is candid, that is sincere, that is genuine, and above all, is comfortable. You know, as we have always said on Off the Cuff Radio, we're going to laugh, we're going to joke, we're going to have great discussions. We are never going to bring any of our guests on to set them up for anything like other people do. We're not out here for the trash talk, for the low-hanging fruit, as my brother would say. We're here to get the real story where they get to talk about it from their side. And we're not, coming in with an agenda of causing a, you know, a crash accident. We want it to be something where people are enlightened, they are educated, and most importantly, they feel inspired. That's what we mm-hmm. want.
And you know, okay, so I want to get into something with you guys. So for me, we're gonna do a little breakdown on me. Like, what do y'all want to see from me? What do I need to improve on? And what you think the next project should sound like? So those three
questions. Whatever you want it to sound like, don't change anything about yourself, because you got the vision, you got the desire, and you have the drive. That's already there. And in terms of collaborations, if you're opening to do them, just reach out to some people online. A lot of these people on IG, I tell anybody out there, whether you want to do podcasting or collaborations or music, reach out to some of these artists on IG. They're a lot more accessible than you think, and a lot of them do read their DMs. You know, just reach out to some people. If there's an email, reach out to them. If they have a phone number, call them and just see what they say. You know, and just, you already have the element of engagement and the intelligence with that engagement that is key. So you can unlock any door with it, you know. So the main thing is, once you're in that door, once you come through, you know, you just see what the people say. But you got a gift. You got a tremendous gift. And the hustle and grind is something that is separate, but it's innate with you. You came with it. Carpe diem. Seize the day.
I appreciate that, man, because that's like, and I agree completely with the collab. And I want to say something, man, that we on air. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, like, for me, me and my boy Dre Benz, we was having a conversation about the collabs and paying for the collabs and stuff. And I was like, bro, why am I paying another artist? We in the same boat. We trying to get to the same place. He was like, yeah, but everybody should get paid for what they do. And I'm like, I agree with that, but we should be trying to help each other get there. Why are we taking money out of each other's pocket when we both in the same boat? We know what that money means. You feel me? Because that's just why I feel like it's an ego thing.
Music-wise, I'll tell anybody, if the collaboration makes sense, then it's never a bad idea to pay, if it makes sense for you.
Exactly.
If it makes sense for you to do it. But also, too, this is a big thing. We're running out of time, but yeah, we go over time, it's whatever. But the thing about what artists have to do is, they will want to pay for a collaboration, but the artists they want to collaborate with, they're doing off of name, but not chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
If you make sure that if an artist charges $20,000 a verse, guess what? Their price is their price. But make
mm-hmm.
sure if you're going to pay that $20,000, make sure you know that the song is going to be a situation where you both mesh well and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Out here in Virginia, you know, Hampton Roads area, I'm not going to put nobody on blast, but I've seen some local artists do some collaborations with some major artists, and the shit ain't gonna go nowhere. I'm like, two things either happen. The artist turns in a C or a B minus verse because it's really not a major thing, or the fact is the artist just totally just outshines them. You know, it's like, and depending on where you're from, I'm not saying this to be a dick, but the thing is, depending on who you are, a guest verse can really send you over the top if it works. But
man,
it has to be a situation where it makes sense for it. Because other than that, you paid money for a song that may be good, but it doesn't go anywhere. And it may not, in the worst element of it, you paid money for a song that ain't good, and it goes nowhere.
Man,
you know, it's yeah.
I went out and I was on the phone with my homeboy DJ one time, and he was like, I was like, bro, I got this song called Dollar Tree. I would love, I wish Sahai could get on it. And he was like, this is one of our first conversations with me. And he was like, what you just say? I was like, I wish Sahai would be on his record. And he was like, bro, I just left Sahai house. I was like, bro, get the fuck out of here. No, come on. Like, come on with it. He was like, nah, bro, I was working with his marketing team. What he got going on for the Mr. EGOT, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, man, I'm going to tap you in with his people. And the record was cool. They was like, but I didn't have the – and he was working with people at the time. But he's a Grammy-winning artist, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Price
is going to go up. Price is going to go up behind that, yeah.
But, you know, but he was working with people, but the number I had, it was short of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was short of this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I respected the fact that first of all, his team heard it, and it was willing to get it to him. Either he heard it or the team heard it. I don't know. But they was willing to do the record. And I'm pretty sure if it got that far, he most likely heard it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
And I was just like, dang, bro. It would have been crazy to get him on Dollar Trees. But now, since we talked about, like, collabs, I would like, so just this just happened earlier today. Me and Joe Grizz will be doing an EP, three songs. We'll be doing an EP, and we're going to be doing something crazy. We don't know. We just, and what we're going to do, we're going to let the music tell us what to make. We're going to go in the studio. We're going to let the beat talk to us, and we're going to put it down just like that. And another feature that I'm going to do, me and Don Michael Jr., we're going to do one. I was talking to him. He was he got a little busy on me, and I wanted to do an EP with him. Now, he just dropped the album, and it's, I'm going to say my boy, I want to shout the boy album out. I want y'all to listen to my guy, bro. I want y'all to listen to my guy, Don Michael. Don Michael Jr., I would like y'all to do that for me. He just dropped, and the album, he dropped a single called We 100, and then he got, man, he ain't got it on here. But it's called something, but he got The Wolves Have Joy, which is a dope project. His name is Don Michael Jr., he just dropped another project. And I'm going to try to get a song with him. My man is doing great out there. He's from Camden, New Jersey. Shout out to Camden. I think I'm saying that right. I'm Southern as hell, so I'm country as fuck. So, but I would just that's what I'm doing. I'm going to get some more features from other artists, whether local or major. We're going to work with it. We're going to see what's popping. But I know we're running short on time, but I appreciate you guys, man. I didn't expect this to go this good, but damn, boy, I enjoyed it.
We appreciate you,
that's
man.
The vibe,
thank
brother.
You.
That's the vibe we bring,
y'all
man.
Right with me. You said what?
Yeah, that's the vibe we bring, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all, man. I sit here and I recorded it. If y'all do have the audio for this, man, let me get it, too. Let me
I'm going to send it to you tonight, and I'm going to have it on YouTube probably by either tomorrow or Sunday.
Man, hey, man, I appreciate it. And shout out to everybody that tuned in. I shared it on my page. I made sure I shared it right before we went live. I took the link that you
appreciate
sent me.
You.
I'm gonna follow y'all. Make sure you get the Instagrams. I'm gonna shout my Instagrams out. I got to do that. Shout Instagram.
Yeah, shout it out.
Shout out
where they can find you. Shout out where they can find you.
Okay, so name Rashid is NAIMRASHEED _official. That's Instagram. And we have on Facebook, which is my biggest platform, Facebook. I'm Naeem Rashid on Facebook, just Naeem Rashid. Twitter, I just changed my handles because I couldn't use my name at one point in time. Somebody had the same name, so I had to change it. So my Twitter handle is Naeem Rashid _. So at @NaeemRasheed_ on Twitter or X, whatever y'all want to call it. TikTok is not at @NaeemRasheed. The main ones on. I got to upload YouTube, @NaeemRasheed as well. You'll see it. It's not hard to find. I want to say it's @NaeemRasheed_official. The same as on Instagram. Same as Instagram. So that's where I'm at, man. Y'all come holler at me. I want to add both of you guys, so make sure y'all give me your Instagram. Y'all on Facebook too, right?
Yeah.
I need all of that. I need all of that. I'm gonna send you my people too. I'm gonna send you my people as well. So make sure y'all check them out, man. Shout out to everybody listening. I know we've been doing this for a minute. We was on here for like two hours. So I hope y'all enjoy this, man. I don't know if y'all do this with everybody. I hope I love
this. Man, we
pressure.
Love this, man.
Hey, we love the vibe, bro.
Man, appreciate it. I'm going to be back when I drop this EP.
Man, we would love to have you back. Come back anytime, man. And keep doing what you do with it.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Anything else we need to do? We good?
We're good.
Yes, sir, man. Big shout out to Lawrence for making this connection, man. That's a good brother there.
Shout out Lawrence, man. Yeah, let Lawrence hit me up, bro. I know your ad better be listening. You got Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all, boys.
Yeah, gotta
make
shout
sure
out the plugs, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out the plugs. Gotta shout out the plugs.
Yeah,
right,
man. We about to peel up out of here, man. We'll definitely catch everybody on the next go around, man. Big shout out to you.
All right, man. Much love. Y'all be easy.
You too, man.
Yep.
All right. Another chapter of the book.